This week's episode of the Touch Arcade Show is sponsored by Eldritch Games for Deliria. It's available now on the App Store and Google Play for $2. Today, we discuss iOS 11, the new launch of the iPhone 8, and a bunch of massive games that came out this week, including The Witness, Morphite, Phoenix Wright, and more. Stick with us.
I know a magical place we could go, so close your eyes and make a wish. For the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Touch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends, Eli, Jerry, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Touch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to the Touch Arcade Show. This is episode number 324, recording on September 22nd, 2017, the day that the iPhone 8 was released. So, well, or was shipped to you, or if you didn't go to the Apple Store or whatever.
Weird iPhone release day compared to previous years.
Yeah. Well, let me finish the intro list and we'll get all to right. that. But I have a whole list of things to talk about this week. So this is the first time you've downloaded this podcast. Thanks a ton. Always appreciate new people checking us out. If this is the first time you've listened to this podcast ever, I'm Eli. With me is Jared. Between the two of us, we've got about 20 years of experience covering mobile games, which is a long time when you think about it. So toucharcade.com is the best place to go for iOS news, but we really are kind of like a more general mobile game site, or at least we've kind of shifted that way. So if you have an Android phone, like most of the stuff, I guess, other than like new iPhone chat, will apply to stuff you can get on your phone as well. We stream on Twitch at twitch.tv/toucharcade. We also have a Discord that's really cool at discord.gg/toucharcade. This podcast, as well as our entire website and community, is primarily supported by Patreon. So if you like this show, like the work that we do, like reading our reviews, stuff like that, go to patreon.com/toucharcade. Check it out. We appreciate all and any support. This week we have four new backers. So those are Geert D, I think is how you pronounce it. Sorry if I butchered that. Luke G, Shay M, and Jonas H. Thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate the support and everyone that has supported us in the past, as well as continue to support us now. If you're not into the Patreon thing, but you still like the site and you want to, you know, do what you can to help us keep doing it, you can do your Amazon shopping through toucharcade.com/Amazon. We get a small cut of anything that you buy through that link, which, you know, adds up if more people start using it. Let's see, Patreon backers also get a video version of the podcast. You can see us talking in real time and kind of stream my or record my iPad and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. We always appreciate iTunes reviews. And of course, if you want to email us for any reason, it's podcast@toucharcade.com. We actually got one email this week from Fate Creator, and that's on the subject of dealing with, you know, still visiting Touch Arcade after the Touch Arcade app no longer works in iOS 11 because we can't update it, which is a long story that we cover many times on the site. It basically comes down to Apple changed the iTunes user, or I'm sorry, the iTunes developer guidelines like a day after we launched our app, and our app like totally violates a bunch of stuff. So just kind of put it out to pasture. But anyway, Fate Creator says, I put home screen links to the TA web pages, one each for stories, hot games, and watch list. I put them in their old folder and set that folder to the dock. It kind of works, but I want to tell you how much I miss the app. I use TA for almost 100% of my games curation, and I trust it like rotten tomatoes. I think I understand why Apple won't allow others to curate apps, but I still think that decision was a mistake. Since I just upgraded my phone, I'm regressing to my old iPhone 6S to iOS 10. So I can keep using the TA app. The new website can't come soon enough. As dated as the app is/was, it has a pretty high bar for interaction and functionality. Fingers crossed, keep up the good work. So yeah, if you missed that on the website this week, I kind of laid out the plans for a post Touch Arcade app future for the site, which basically amounts to we're really enhancing the mobile view of the site. Like right now, It is what it is. It was kind of, we never really put too much effort into it because we always just kind of figured that, like, you know, if people were serious about reading the site on the go, they just download the app, which I guess is kind of true, I guess. But, you know, now that we can't update the app just stopped working in iOS 11. So I really wanted to have all the new mobile stuff done for the iOS 11 launch. But of course, nothing ever goes as planned when it comes to that kind of stuff. So the mobile site in the future is going to emulate as much of the functionality of the app as we possibly can. I actually kind of think it might be a little bit better once it's all said and done. Because we'll actually be able to like update it and change it and kind of see like, oh, this is not working as great as we thought it would. Like, let's shuffle this around or change how this works or whatever else. Because once Apple started rejecting our app updates, like we were really locked in with the very 1.0 version of the app. Which kind of hampered a lot of the kind of content organization that we actually did on the website. Like, I don't know how many people actually noticed, but like close to like, I would say like 70 to 80% of our content just goes in under like the news kind of heading. And the whole reason for that is it was like that we built the TouchRcade API with the app to just, you know, do very basic things, get it out, and then, you know, hopefully get featured and then continue supporting it, right? But that kind of didn't go as planned. So we've been shoehorning a lot of stuff into like the very, very, very earliest version of what we intended on doing, which, you know, has not been as great as I.
Well, a lot of the decisions we made in the process of making our app was driven by what had been done with the App Shopper app.
Yes.
Which was featured multiple times by Apple and did like crazy good download numbers. Tons of people used it. And so we were like, awesome. If that's, you know, App Shopper does that well, then, you know, a thing that's strictly for games that's similar sort of functionalities is going to do even better. And so we made a ton of our decisions just sort of thinking a app like that, but for games, would be welcomed with open arms by Apple and featured and all that good stuff. And it immediately was not. And then they immediately also decided to reject all App Shopper updates too. So yeah. it was just sort of really an experience I've heard from a lot of developers over the years, where it's sort of like they get this left field punch from Apple and, you know, it kind of just screws up all of their plans, because they had been kind of going on what the had been done in the past. And Apple can kind of just change their, you know, feelings about things on a whim. And that's pretty much what happened to us. So it kind of like really screwed us over, because we'd spent all that time and money designing the app specifically based on all this, you know, info that we had, that turned out it was totally all just not good anymore. So
yeah,
it was rough.
Yeah, I have other stuff to say about that, but I'm going to let it kind of see how it pans out before I get too deep into that. There may be cooler things coming, though. What else was on my list to talk about? Oh, yeah. So anyway, you know, if you're bummed the app doesn't work anymore, we posted a couple different guides on how to keep getting like push notifications using free services and apps that I use for a bunch of different stuff. How to add the site to your actual like launch, like home screen on your device and stuff like that. So I think it'll be you know, it's going to be a rough couple months as we kind of transition between the app to our kind of rough mobile site now to the way better mobile site in the future. But I think everything will pan out in the end. So
I hope so.
We'll kind of see how it goes. But let's see. Oh, I guess so to start things off, this might be time sensitive, so I kind of wanted to mention this first. So there's always a lot of ways that you can get iTunes credit for cheaper. Like if you just if you're one of those people that you know, is concerned about how much money you're spending on apps or whatever else, which we see a lot. I mean, you know, like especially on a week like this where there's like a lot of very good games that are, you know, anywhere between like $5 to $10, and like you could realistically spend like $100 this week just on games, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're concerned about, you know, saving, cutting corners wherever you can, but still getting like good stuff on your iOS device, the worst thing you can do is just have your credit card hooked up to your iTunes account and just like leave it on autopilot and stuff like that. Because iTunes gift cards are almost always on sale somewhere.
Yeah.
The catch is, though, there's usually a couple small hoops that you need to jump through for whatever the next like deal is. And I kind of try to be proactive about publishing these when they have like almost no hoops, which is the case for today's thing. So on Amazon, for whatever reason, $100 iTunes gift cards are $85. So all you have to do is just, you buy it on Amazon, you get it. You don't have to. Some of the previous ones, like the more easy ones, It was like you had to buy them through eBay, which I always thought was a little weird because it was like you needed to use eBay and PayPal and all this stuff, which I don't know, just kind of seems like a hassle to me. And Costco has done some good stuff in the past too, but you have to have Costco membership and stuff. Like this is the first one in a long time that I've seen where it's just like, dude, just open up Amazon and buy it. Like you don't have to do any screwing around. I think the catch is they mail you a physical card though, because I couldn't find a way for it to email me the code, but maybe I just have something configured wrong on my account, or maybe they email it to you anyway, and I didn't check out
I
all the
think
way.
it's a couple of people in the comments said, yeah, they mail you a physical card.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever. Amazon shipping's free, so it's like, wait 2 days and get your code, I guess. It just seems like a very weird waste of resources, but
It is a good thing though. I mean, if you're going to eventually spend $100 on games anyway, whether it's right now or over the next few months or whatever, might as well buy this for cheaper, top up your account, and just have it there.
well, so another thing that's worth mentioning too is that like a lot of people don't realize like just how much stuff iTunes credit can be used for now inside of the Apple ecosystem. Because it like if you can pay for your like if you use any extra iCloud storage, that comes out of your iTunes credit. If you use Apple Music, which I don't, so I can't verify this myself, but that subscription also will come out of your iTunes credit and stuff. So like really that's a a discount across the board on all these things that you might as well take advantage of. Just buy a gift card every time you seem like you're getting low, and save some cash. I mean, why not? So the I guess the big news for most people this week, because it kind of seems like the iPhone 8 is a little bit of a clunker of a launch. I mean, like Tim Cook, of course, was out saying like, oh, we're sold out in some stores, and things going so well. But I feel like he kind of has to say that.
It's weird because it's not like the mass like fury to get an iPhone or crazy lines or whatever, but there's still definitely like significant demand, probably more than I was even expecting. And it's like it's interesting because it was sort of like us in the tech world or whatever that kind of follows all the announcements and stuff. We're sort of like, who the heck would buy an iPhone 8? But it's a damn good phone, and I think there's a lot of people that do just want, sort of like the thing they're familiar with, but a better version of it. They, especially if you're coming from like an iPhone 6 or something, or even older, this is like a massive leap in upgrade. So I'm not totally surprised that there's people out there that want them and stuff, but I was actually surprised to see really any lines at all. I sort of thought it would be kind of a ghost town. So
Yeah, I mean,
I
my
don't know. That's good.
girlfriend's getting the iPhone 8. We're actually going to go to the Apple store tonight so she can do her iPhone upgrade program thing. And like her reason was it her reason for doing that, which I think I mentioned last week maybe, but or maybe the week before, was that like, all those monthly fees just kind of start to add up. Like the top end iPhone 8 Plus, the 256 gig one will cost you $20 a month less than the iPhone 10, which,
Yeah, adds up.
I mean, if you don't really care, I mean, she doesn't really care about having like the latest and greatest thing, but like you pay for that upgrade program, so you might as well go in and upgrade every year because you can, But yeah, I feel like there should be and maybe the thing is like why you didn't see like the just launch day blitz is because like, people like my girlfriend, like she, I asked her, I was like, hey, do you want me to see if I can find you an iPhone today? Like I can call around Apple stores or whatever. And she just like didn't really care. She's like, I don't know if I don't need it today. Like if I get it, soon or whenever, like that's fine, Which I feel like is so if the iPhone X appeals to like the techie crowd that'll camp outside the Apple store, and the iPhone 8 appeals to like that other demographic, like you won't see those lines ever then. Which maybe
It's
that
true.
is part of the plan all along, is to, have like, and it's entirely possible like once they, do their next investor phone call when in the quarter end, whenever that is, the iPhone 8 could vastly outsell the iPhone 10, and it's just like outside of our bubble of stuff that people we talk to every day care about, really.
Well, all of this is definitely has me scared that we're going to even get the new iPhone when
Yeah,
the
well.
pre-orders go up a month from now, because they're already talking about, the production being delayed and this and that, and that suppliers are going to be massively constrained. And I don't know, who knows? We might not even get that one until next year.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think that people are getting a little too wound up in the rumors about supply
Maybe.
stuff. I mean,
I hope so.
I okay, so but Apple is a company that has multiple years now of practice with the logistics of building millions of these things. And it seems like every year there's some like hot take of a rumor that comes out beforehand that's like, oh my God, you know, they're having problems with the glass production, or, you know, the screens aren't being glued right. Right. Like, isn't there something like every year?
Pretty much. But I also think that that's true for the existing phone design. I think they're using new panels and some other new components that could definitely screw things up. I mean, I haven't really heard of anything major since like what, iPhone 5 time?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's going to be fine, but who knows? Like, the crazy shit can happen, of course. So,
yeah. We'll see. I hope we get one.
Like, well, another kind of interesting thing. Yeah, so I went and actually picked up my girlfriend's Apple Watch today from an Apple store, like the usual Apple store I go to, and there was like, it was like any other day there. I mean, like, you know, I picked it up at like 10, which I think is when the store opens. So maybe they opened a little early for the iPhone, but you know, it was just another busy day at the Apple store. It wasn't like a blitz of people or anything. And then when the UPS guy came today, I asked him, you know, like, hey, are you just going crazy? Cause he came up weirdly early. And I was like, you know, I was actually out with the dog when he came, and, you know, I was like, hey, what's, you know, did you change your route or something? Cause I'm always hoping that they like modify their route so they come early in the morning. Cause UPS for me comes at like 7 most days, too. Right? And it sucks. Cause, back when I used to live in my parents' house, their house was, like the first house that the UPS driver would stop at because of like where they were in relation to the, like the distribution center and what direction he went. So he got really used to getting UPS packages at like 9:15 every morning.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
But anyway, so I asked him, you like, what's the deal? Like, do you not have a ton of iPhones in your phone or in your truck or whatever? Cause he came early. Cause he said his package load was so low that he's finished with his routes.
Jeez.
And I'm like, well, that's really strange. Cause like, you know, he was like, yeah, anytime the new iPhone comes out, I'm out until it's dark out delivering them. Yeah. And this year I have like almost none.
Huh.
So I don't know, but that might play into my theory of, you know, people are going to buy the iPhone 8, don't care about having it on day zero. They just care about getting it whenever they get around to it, you know? So who knows? But anyway, so the iOS 11, I feel like, is going to be the big news of the week for people that didn't get an iPhone 8. Because everyone can download iOS 11, I guess, unless you have, I have the list here somewhere. So like the oldest device is the, iPhone 5S on the iPhone side, the, iPad mini 2, and, I guess the fifth generation iPad, which would be what, the Retina iPad, the first Retina iPad, something like that.
Let's see. I remember. Two, I can't keep them straight anymore.
Yeah, there's been some, and then the sixth generation iPad. Like, anything newer than that, you're good to go. Which
it's pretty impressive.
Impressive array of stuff that the new update's able to go on. So, I think the major changes for the phone that I've noticed is the control center is way different.
Yeah.
Which I don't really even know how I get to it on my iPad. I think you swipe down, or I don't know. I found it a couple times on accident. Not sure how you get to the iPad. The iPhone is similar. You swipe up it, but like the way that they've kind of changed it around is like all these little kind of like remote style buttons for all these different things. And like, it's weirdly cluttered for Apple stuff, it seems like to me.
It is, but I'm actually really happy they're sort of like making the 3D touch stuff a big feature, because I actually use that a lot. I've gotten really accustomed to using 3D touch for things. And it usually takes a while for me to learn whatever a shortcut uses 3D touch and then to start kind of working it into my workflow or whatever. But yeah, the whole control center, you can pretty much 3D touch any of those things and get like a lot more options. So I kind of don't mind so much that it's cluttered. Also, you can customize it quite a bit too. So kind of get rid of the dumb stuff you don't need and just have the stuff you care about. But even though it's cluttered, you can kind of just focus in on things. And I'm already finding it's like a nicer shortcut to a lot of things that I do a lot. Just kind of retraining your brain to do stuff that way. But I don't know. It's good. It's definitely, I think iOS 11 is like very few big dramatic changes for iPhone users. But I think there's like a lot of really tiny things that might take a while to kind of notice that are going to be really nice going forward.
No, totally. And I think that the biggest changes are for iPad people. Like the iPad works a lot more like a laptop now compared to a like just big iPhone, which I feel like is kind of valid criticism for forever.
A long time.
With the various like drag and drop functionality and, you know, the actual real deal file viewer and things like that. It's kind of want to get the keyboard case for my iPad and like experiment and see if I can go like an entire day working on it.
Yeah.
Or not, because that was always like a big stopping point for me with the iPad, was at least, you know, with what we do, which, you know, a lot of like I do a lot of emailing and WordPress stuff and you know, chat stuff and things like that. And but the what always kind of broke my workflow to be able to do 100% on the iPad is managing media on the iPad into the browser is really not great. When I like, if someone emailed me some screenshots and I wanted to post it on WordPress, it's like a 5 or 6 step process to even do that. As opposed to like now, I can do like a split screen and just like drop it straight in, which is a lot better.
It'd be an interesting thing to try. I feel like I've never been a big iPad person, and I haven't bought a new iPad since the iPad Mini came out, and that's my newest iPad. And just because, like, size-wise, it's my laptops have always been similar size, and so I never always felt a little redundant carrying both around. And then most things I've sort of learned to do on my phone if I'm out and about with pretty little trouble. And I feel like I'm just going to carry something that big around anyway. Might as well grab my laptop, which is pretty small and light as is. So I don't know. I feel like I'm just not an iPad person, but I love what they're doing with all the iPad stuff. And I think that they're making it a way more functional device for a lot of people. With iOS 11.
I'm kind of like fiddling around with iOS 11 on my iPad. It's just like, man, why did it take you guys so long to do this stuff? Like, it's just kind of crazy how much of a difference like some just the little things make on it. Like, even just like the kind of like dock stuff is just way nicer and all that stuff. So I still hope that one day they release an iPad that has 3D touch, because it kind of like messes me up getting so used to 3D touch on the phone, then like going back to the iPad and like attempting to do 3D touch gestures and then having it not work.
Poke a hole through the screen.
Yeah, basically. So yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, iOS 11 also enabled all this like AR kit junk, which I don't know. It reminds me a lot of, and I think that, you know, my hot takes from previous episodes turned out to be pretty true in that most of the games released, just the AR kit stuff is just thrown in there just because they could, or because they thought it would help with an Apple feature or like whatever else.
I agree.
There's very few exceptions to that. And I think that Splitter Critters is actually the only game that I've actually played so far that even like does anything that's remotely interesting with AR kit. And that, but it's like so minor too, because like, if you haven't played Splitter Critters, it's a game where like, so imagine two platforms above each other, or like one platform, then one platform below it on a screen, a dude walking on the lower platform and like a goal on the upper platform. And like, that's its most basic. What you would do is you would swipe down the center of the screen to like cut the screen. And then you can slide both sides of those to make the lower platform line up with the upper platform. And then the dude walks across the end. So that's basics of Splitter Critters. You haven't played it. What Splitter Critters does in AR that's kind of interesting is they use like the parallax of the multiple of the depth that it allows you to kind of like look into, because it renders as like a diorama on your desk or whatever. And you can kind of like use your phone to look to the side and see like there's stuff behind like one platform or something like that, which I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, that's kind of a cool idea of being able to shift your view and being like, oh, hey, if I look at it from this angle, like I see another solution kind of thing. Which that seems pretty cool. But again, like, you know, the game itself is really good. And this is not like a game changer. It's a cool feature. And, you know, calling it a cool feature is even kind of borderline. It's like, oh, that's a neat implementation of this kind of thing. And most of the other games that I've tried, of which like the Zombie Gunship Revenant one is probably the coolest of this sort of thing. But it's like you're just moving your camera, your iPhone around to control a camera, which you otherwise would control with just your finger or virtual joystick or something like that. Which, I don't know. It's.
I thought zombie. There's a few that I felt like were a little bit extra cool than because the majority of stuff right now is just like, look, we projected a thing into the real world. Isn't that cool? And that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Without any sort of like meaningful augmented reality support. But Zombie Gunship, I thought was actually cool because you're sort of walking around and you like are the plane. Mm-hmm. That was kind of interesting because it actually makes you feel like. You're this plane.
But at the same time, like that game could have been controlled with tilt or virtual joysticks and it would have been the same exact thing. You know, like that. Yeah. That's kind of my point is that it's not like.
It's not a drastic difference or anything.
Yeah. You know, I kind of am of the same mind with virtual reality in that I've played so few games on my Vive where it's like, whoa, okay, this could only exist in VR. Like, this is so cool. I just can't even get over it. Instead, it's like, all right, this is a PC game, but, you know, now I can look around 360 degrees, which is nicer, sure, but it's not like, you know, oh, my God, everyone needs to go out and buy this. It's the coolest thing ever kind of thing.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see what sort of stuff people can come up with, because I think there's probably some clever ideas out there waiting to be realized.
But I don't think it's in games, though. No.
I think it'll definitely be much bigger outside of games because there's a lot of really practical things you can think of to use augmented reality for. But even in terms of games, I think there's probably some stuff out there that people will figure out where you're going to be like, wow, that is really cool, and that's only possible with this augmented reality. Wouldn't be possible otherwise. Yeah. But it's up to people to come up with those ideas. Right now, everything feels very gimmicky and very tech demo-y.
Well, so and what kills me about all this stuff, and the exact same thing happened with virtual reality. It's like Apple and every other company that gets behind these technologies, like it just forces games as like this is what you use this for when they demo it. You know, it's like oh, check out these robots fighting on a table or whatever. When like that's not that cool. But the IKEA app, which I think is called like IKEA Spaces or Place. IKEA Place or something, Places maybe, something like that. IKEA and some generic word behind it. Just search for IKEA. It'll be the one that has like the camera logo or whatever on it. Like that's actually super cool because you can like, you know, like be standing in your living room or whatever and be like, oh, what does it look like with, you know, like this lamp on this table or this chair in this corner? And you can see, and it's an actual product that you can then go out and buy, which like, I don't know. That to me seems a million times cooler than, oh, check it out. I have zombies on my table.
Well, I can't think, especially with us buying a house just last year and having to furnish the whole thing. God, that would have been a godsend back then to be able to see how things fit in spaces and sort of just be able to visualize, how, you know, the room should look or what size furniture would fit where or whatever. I mean, so many different things where we were just sort of like trying to measure and hope for the best.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I wish I had that last year.
Yeah, I can't even tell you a number of times in my life, especially with IKEA stuff, you know, because they have all the measurements on the website where it's like you know, you kind of measure a space and you compare it to like the measurements and be like, yeah, they'll fit, like that dresser will fit there or whatever. And then you get it and it's like, oh, it just doesn't work here.
My best example is that we have a converted two-car garage as one of our living rooms, and so it's a huge space. And so when we first moved in, the thing was empty, of course, and it's just like, wow, this room is massive. And so we had sort of these plans of like, okay, well, you know, that sort of area will be the living room TV area with the couch and stuff, but then there's so much extra space. We'll have kind of a desk area back here and a different bookshelf area back there. We sort of had broke up the big space into little tinier spaces. And so when we went and we wanted to buy like a sectional couch – we bought it at one of those furniture places, like a giant warehouse that's bigger than anything. And, you know, the couch, and it looked big in the place, but you don't really realize how big. And I remember they delivered it and it almost took up the entire room. And so I had this like massive couch, which is great. And it's awesome when you have a lot of people over and stuff like that, but it definitely killed our plan of having that one big room be like a bunch of different spaces. Now it's just one giant living room with a giant couch, and it's great. And I loved it. It turned out fine in the end, but I would have probably, had I seen something that would have shown me what it would have been like virtually, I would have been like, okay, we don't need that big of a couch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's cool about the IKEA app too is like, you know, it locks on pretty good where you put stuff. So like you could have like be standing in your garage and like filled it with IKEA furniture and be like, all right, cool. Like this does work or it doesn't work or whatever. Yeah. And like,
I would do that anyway. Just
like why? That would have been a killer demo on the keynote to do exactly that. Be like, all right, you know, hey, I just got into this dorm room. Like let's fill it up with IKEA stuff and see how it's going to look, as opposed to like, oh, check it out. You know, if you can go over the table and see the plane dropping these Marines in and stuff.
Yeah.
And
like, yeah.
No one gives a shit about that.
I don't know. It's neat, but it's not really a game changer to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to sound overly pessimistic on ARKit games. I mean, like, who knows? Some developer, like, that's one of the cool things about mobile in general is that, like, with so many indies, like, people just come up with shit, and it's like, holy cow, like, this is so much cooler. I never would have thought of this, and like, all this stuff. So,
And like, I think we get a little jaded too by following this stuff so closely every day.
oh yeah,
I
for
think if I
sure.
showed like some friends of mine this or whatever, they'd think it was the coolest thing ever. So, I don't know. It kind of depends. I think what Apple does best is take a technology and sort of make it mainstream. And I think that's what they're doing with AR stuff right now.
Yeah.
Because now it's like the AR is the talk of the town, but this is a technology that's been around for years and years. So it's not like new, but Apple is making it be new to a lot of people who would have never otherwise known about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That can be a big game changer.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes, I guess. I don't know. I keep downloading stuff, checking it out for sure. We'll see.
Much.
But hey, let's get a quick word in from our sponsors. We'll come back on the other side and talk about some more news and other stuff that's happening this week. There's been a lot. So stick with us. We'll be right back. Deliria is a little nugget of a mobile game released by Eldritch, an indie developer outfit. Deliria is a 2D sci-fi base defense and exploration game where you take on the role of an overseer tasked with setting up and defending a mining base in an alternate dimension. Mysterious creatures attack your base, and you, as overseer, must repel the onslaught. You also soon discover that terrible things have happened to previous crews as you venture further, and you must find out why before the same thing happens to your own crew. Deliria is short and sweet if you're looking for something to play over the weekend and not devote your entire life to it. It's available now on the App Store and Google Play for $2. All right, guys, we're back. Real quick, I figured we would just go through the, in case you got an iPhone 8. I hope we didn't sound too down on it earlier. It's a cool phone, of course. Maybe we just go through this article Jared put together of like the most graphically impressive games to kind of give it a go to stretch the legs of your GPU of your iPhone 8. Which, I mean, these articles are kind of like they do very well for us on Touch Arcade because I think this is something a lot of people are interested in. But it's kind of silly how like the top game on all these roundups, like basically since like the iPhone 5 has been like, check out Infinity Blade. So if you and it's like one of those things, like it would be weird to leave it out, but at the same time it feels like so stupid to just always like just need to lead off with like, hey, Infinity Blade's still the best looking game series on
it. Kind of
the
is,
App
and it's
Store.
Still like, man, if you're put on the spot, it's like the go-to answer for if someone's like, what's a cool iPhone game? So still true now as it was 7 years ago when it came out.
Still really good. Honestly, like some of these old games, like the newer hardware, like make them load so much faster and stuff. They play better. But even though like previous hardware has been kicking the shit out of them for a while. So The Witness is on there that came out this week.
That's
it
a good
runs,
showpiece game.
I'm really curious how it's going to run on newer devices. Like it should run really well because it runs pretty well on my iPad Pro, but. We'll see. So Gear.club, which is a really cool racing game. Racing games seem to always do well for fast frames per second kind of games and stuff. So NBA 2K18 just came out, which is looks pretty good. It's a full on kind of mobile basketball simulation game. Definitely worth checking out. And Oceanhorn, of course, is another game, much like Infinity Blade, that we mentioned year over year as one of the most graphically impressive games because it is.
That game is I feel like the graphics themselves maybe don't hold up as well. I mean, the character models and textures and stuff like that. But I feel like Oceanhorn kind of deserves the mention because they are like the first game to be updated for anything new that Apple comes out with for the last, 4 years. So it's like anytime like Metal comes out or whatever new graphical thing comes out, like Oceanhorn updates to support it. So I feel like I haven't seen an update for it yet for any iPhone 8 stuff, but I wouldn't be surprised if all of they're like, hey, here's an iPhone 8 thing that takes advantage of all this stuff.
So Radiation City is another one. This is kind of like big, kind of open worldy sort of game, which those have, especially on older devices, seem to kind of chug a little bit. So the iPhone 8 should just like obliterate it. Transformers Forged to Fight. It's kind of like an Injustice-like, and those games all always, like, you know, they use assets from the actual console game, so they're going to look really good. And then we include a couple of AR kit games too. So Euclidean Lands, Flat Pack, and The Machines, and Splitter Critters, which I already mentioned. That Warhammer 40K Freeblade, which I showed at the keynote, and then Zombie Gunship Revenant, we are already showed. They all kind of seem to use AR in a sort of similar manner, but it's still cool to check out. And a lot of these games are even free, so, like, you know, why not? So you take the good of iOS 11 with the bad that a lot of very old classic games are kind of left out in the lurch, and we've been consistently updating our list of big classic old games that are no more. And man, it sucks to look at this list. Like Anomaly Warzone Earth, that game was great.
All the anomalies, in fact, are gone. I didn't realize that.
Oh shit. Call of Duty Zombies was really, really, really good. Like that game, I couldn't believe it when that came out. They even sent me an iPod Touch that they had like gotten
I
had
remember.
branded with the branding on the back, because that was like back in the day when there was no good way to like really give someone a pre-release version of a game. Like all the id stuffs, like Doom Classic, the RPG games, Doom Resurrection,
That hurts.
those are all smoke. Dungeon Raid, one of my all-time favorite games, is gone. The Geo Defense games are gone. A lot of the old Rocket Cat games like Hookchamp and stuff. Although they've mentioned, I think we talked about this on the podcast before, they're open to the idea of doing like some kind of like remastered re-release.
I would love that. I'd
would
love that
be
more
a
than anything.
yeah, I mean that would be a new game that might cost money or might just be a free-to-play thing or whatever else. All the Mikey games are smoked out, or
Which is
I'm
kind of
sorry, the
surprising.
older Mikey games are smoked out. Peggle is no more. And just like so much, the Sentinel Tower Defense games, I loved those.
It's a lot. It's a lot of good games.
Shadowgun, I was kind of surprised to see that one on there. Super Crate Box, of course. Original Zenbound, Sword of Fargol. There's like so much good stuff. It's depressing. So we actually have I have my iPhone all hooked up with all these games too, so we'll be able to, you know, revisit them in the past as we need to, but not updating my iPhone 6 so I can keep playing these old games. Here's some good news though. There are stragglers of games that are still, you know, being released that that we assumed were dead that have been updated 64-bit. So first of which is Solomon's Keep, which is a really, really good old school dual stick shooter RPG sort of thing.
Man, it was so fun playing through this again after it got updated. It just reminded me how good this game still is.
Yeah, this game is outstanding. I think it first came out in like 2000,
2010.
2010. So a super old game, unbelievable that it got updated, still just as good as it ever was. And I think it's cool to go back and like look, because dual stick shooters used to be like the thing on mobile for a while, you know, because people were like, I don't know how to do inputs. Let's just do two virtual joysticks and see what happens. So it was cool. The big surprise for me was XCOM Enemy Within, because this is from 2K, and 2K is really big on just like abandoning their games on the App Store, like, you know, they did with BioShock and stuff. So, you know, I would say that Enemy Within is probably, if not the best turn-based strategy game, it's certainly in the running. That you could argue one way or the other that it is the best or the second best or something like that. It was just XCOM games are outstanding. And this game is actually, it's gotten better over the years as new hardware has come out, because when this game first came out, like it was a really just it drained your battery and like just kicked the shit out of your device and all that stuff. But like now on a newer iPad Pro, like it loads really quick, you know, the frame rate's good and all this other stuff. So you know, if you missed out on Enemy Within because you had an older device at the time that, you know, either wasn't supported or people were like, oh, don't even bother getting this, it runs at 5 frames per second or whatever, like definitely check it out now because it's still a good game. Even though I think it came out in 2014,
I
13,
think.
maybe something like that. So yeah, moving on. Pocket City got announced this week, which looks really cool. For the longest time, people have been like asking for like a real SimCity like. And like the closest thing that we've ever got was SimCity Build It, I guess, which is more of like a free to play town builder and less of like a strategic sort of city builder thing.
There were a couple of actual SimCity games before that. It was like 2009 and 2010 era.
Yeah.
There were the real SimCity games, and they were super fun. I think their major problem was that the hardware at the time could not hang with them because they lagged really bad, and it just was kind of a mess. Well, so it kind of made it hard to play.
That was like around the same time that like Command & Conquer came out, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they never really updated or maintained them or anything like that. And then when Build It came out, that was, what, 3 years ago now or something, it was just super duper popular and made a ton of money. And so they've like constantly updated that one and sort of gone with that model for their SimCity franchise, which is disappointing, but also sort of understandable considering, the other ones that they tried didn't do so hot. But there's definitely an audience that wants like a premium city building game. And so that's what this is trying to be. And it looks super good so far. So
yeah, I'm super stoked for this. It looks really cool. Like it seems like the way they get around, like, the inaccuracy of the touch interface is by making like the grid squares a little bit bigger, like fingertip sized.
Yeah.
Which at least in like the little trailer GIF they put out, like it seems like your cities are a little bit on the smaller side, but I still think that that's totally fine. Like if it's a, you know, pocket sized SimCity experience and that's just kind of like the rub is that your cities are smaller, like it's fine. Like whatever.
Yeah, I would even accept Super Nintendo SimCity ported straight over with no bells and whistles. I would love that.
So in other news, and this was quite controversial, so Zynga's Words with Friends 8th anniversary update hit this week, and they added like a bunch of weird words, which are
bunch
not
of Urban Dictionary stuff.
Yeah, so like delish, queso, bay, bestie, hangry. I don't know what smize means, S-M-I-Z-E.
I don't know either.
BFF, kind of other stuff like that got added, which of course has really upset Scrabble purists.
Yeah.
Who are like, these are not words. They do not belong in a Scrabble game. How could you, Zynga? But I don't know. I don't know. I didn't want to waste my time getting into like arguing with commenters, but like, I think there's a discussion to be had there. And like, dude, like language just evolves over time and words get added to the dictionary. Yeah. And you know, like a lot of words that started as like stupid slang at one point are now totally accepted common words that got added to the dictionary way back when. And like all you're seeing is the continued evolution of language, which I think is kind of a cool thing. But I definitely could see how, you know, these sort of like trendy words, I guess, could be annoying to people, especially now that they're, because I think it's the official like hat tip. It's like, oh yeah, hangry is a word now.
Well, yeah, which is sort of annoying, but whatever. I don't know. I always feel like it's just like one step closer to idiocracy, and like we're all going to be talking in like shorthand and with emojis and I don't know that stuff for the future.
Yeah,
future textbooks written in emoji.
I guess I just always love like this reminds me so much of I read some editorial, you know, on how, you know, people were this person that wrote it was all concerned that like, you know, people don't talk to each other anymore, and like when you go on a train, everyone's just looking at their you know, their iPhone and all this stuff. And then as a rebuttal to that, I don't know if it was in like the same tweet or I don't remember the context, but it was like someone pulled up an article from, you know, like the you know, like 100 years ago, where they were saying the exact same thing but about newspapers. Like how no one talks to each other on the train. Like, look at this commuter train. Everyone has their nose in a newspaper and all this stuff. So it's like, the more things change, the more they stay the same, I guess.
That's
so
totally true.
I don't know. I guess don't be too angry that you can now write bay and words with friends. So another cool thing, I meant to mention this as part of the iOS 11 stuff, and my story's got a little out of order here. Part of iOS 11 is native screen recording, and you know, through a few different services, you can actually stream straight from your device now. It's a little bit confusing to get set up, mostly because of what a weird kind of mishmash of things you can have in your little control center thing now. But We have a guide on the site, so if you just, you know, look up TouchArcade and like how to, the guide's called How to Natively Stream iOS Games on Twitch, YouTube, Mob Crush, and More, and iOS 11 from your iPhone or iPad using ReplayKit 2. So like really you can search for like any streaming related phrase and probably find this article on our site. You know, it goes through like the pros and cons of the different platforms that you can stream on, you know, between YouTube Gaming and Mob Crush and Periscope, Mixer, Omelette Arcade, which you can then kind of use as a third-party service to stream to Twitch and stuff. So, you know, if you watch streams and you're like, oh, I'd love to be a streamer, but all I have is this dumb iPad or whatever, like now you can do it. And it works pretty well, you know, with some limitations because you're streaming from the device and stuff. But, like, you know, it kind of, it is what it is. And it's a, you know, pretty easy to set up once you kind of figure out how it works. So check that guide out if you're curious. Another really cool thing that happened this week, finally, I feel like we've been talking about this forever, is the the Better Together update for Minecraft hit. Mm-hmm. So right now you can play regardless of the platform on iOS, Android, Windows 10, and the Xbox One. And the Switch update, I didn't see why it got delayed, but maybe just, you know, some weird bug or whatever they're working out, or Nintendo distribution is weird or whatever else. But eventually you'll be able to play with the Switch too. Mm-hmm. Which, man, I think this is just the coolest thing ever, and I wish that more games would do this kind of stuff. Like, and it's especially cool that a game as universal as Minecraft is doing it. Yeah. Because it's like, man, kids love Minecraft, right? And it's like, it's such a bummer, you know, when you can't play together on stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's really cool to be like, oh, well, you have an iPod and I have a, you know, PC. Like, who cares? Like, we can, like, you know, get in my game world. Like, it's fine. Like, yeah, know, whatever. Which I think is just super neat. So that update's free. They've got some like additional quality of life improvements they added into that. So like with URLs that you can share, they'll just like dump you directly into another game world and stuff like that, which is really cool. I'm super impressed with what they've done with Minecraft and all this stuff. And I know, I remember people were so so hesitant when Microsoft bought you know, all the Minecraft stuff, but I think they've just like knocked it out of the park with making the game just all around better and stuff. So definitely check that out if you've got kids that play Minecraft. Like they can play with anyone now that it's on any platform, I guess, aside from PS4 for whatever. I guess that's a Sony thing. So
that's really frustrating to me that that's a thing too. When Xbox announced, you know, hey, we have the technology to make it so we can play across platform, you just need the okay from Sony, and Sony's sort of like, nah. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's messed up. Like, I know they're sort of the market leader and stuff, but I don't know. How is that not making your platform more appealing to others if you don't have to decide which system do I buy? I buy the one that my friends are playing, right? So now you just buy any system and always be able to play with your friends. So I feel like
Rocket League is another example. I mean, it's not available on Google, but you know, you can play PC, Xbox One, and Switch when it comes out, and it doesn't care what platform you're on, which I think is just so cool. Because like, growing up, it was like I either had a console and, you know, friends had PC or whatever else, and it's like, oh, I wish we could play together on this. And
yeah.
It's really cool that that's getting like blended away to not really matter anymore. Just like play a game that you like and they all connect and who cares.
That's how it should be.
So this week, Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney also hit the App Store.
That was a surprise to me.
So a big surprise because this launched on the 3DS like not that long ago, right?
Yeah.
That means that like all the main Phoenix Wright games are available on iOS now, which is really neat.
All six of them, yeah.
Because this is like, so if you never played a Phoenix Wright game, like they're sort of a slow paced, sort of choose your own adventure kind of legal mystery thing that eventually culminates in you arguing a case in a court. And I haven't played the newest one, but nothing in the previous games was like ever time sensitive at all. So it was a really good game to play on your iPhone because it's totally conducive to, all right, I'm going to load up, play for a little bit. Then like someone's talking to you, so you put your phone down without, you know, any issue with any of that. So
they're really good games. They're really a lot of personality and a lot of funny stuff in them. And they're just great.
So I don't really, and you know, I'm sure that someone that's super into the Phoenix Wright trilogy is going to, you know, come in well actually me this on this, but, I don't think it really matters which one you play in which order. Like they all are individual cases that, and I think there's like a, I think that it's like, at least as far as I've been able to tell, it's kind of like different episodes of House, if you ever watch that show, where it's like there's the overarching kind of subtle plot line of like what's happening with like House and the medical administrator lady, whatever her character name was and stuff, you know. But like, if you want to watch an episode from season three and then switch back to one from season two or whatever, like 95% of that's the same and it really doesn't matter, you know.
So I think there's like tiny callbacks and, you know, things that you'll pick up from playing the previous ones that will make sense to you in the later games, but I don't think it's like imperative, like you're not going to be lost, you know, not knowing what's going on if you start with five or whatever.
Right. So if you just want to hop into, you know, Phoenix, right, the last one, it's cool. So the way that the modern ones now on iOS are sold is they're $1 and that gets you like the very first kind of like episode. So you can definitely, like, there's way more than enough content to see if you're going to like the rest of it. And then I think the episodes 2 through 5 are $15. And then there's a couple different things you can buy for $3 maybe. Which still is cheaper than buying the 3DS version, because those, for whatever reason, those Phoenix Wright games hold their value like unbelievably well. Like even if you tried to buy a used copy, it's gonna be like $2 less than new. So it's pretty cool that you can get these games just no messing around on the App Store. Another cool game that got released this week is another lost iPhone, Laura's Story. And to celebrate the launch of that, the original game, a normal lost iPhone, is on sale for $1,
which is a normal lost phone.
Or yeah,
you don't,
sorry.
You don't have to inject your branding.
I can't even tell you like how many times I've typed this wrong and said it wrong, sure, and stuff like that, and like keep having to go back and correct myself. Like when I wrote the Mac Rumors thing, like I did normal lost iPhone in every single mention, and then like proofread it twice and was still finding iPhone mentions and stuff. But so if you never played these games, they're pretty cool. And it's kind of weird how playing them kind of makes you feel. So the premise is as if you just found like someone's phone just sitting on a park bench. Right. And so the game is filled with these kind of like these mysteries and like almost kind of like puzzle elements that you have to decipher by going through like text messages and emails and like looking at calendar stuff and things like that, which I think is a really, really cool way to kind of like tell a story. And it's,
it makes you feel a little dirty.
Well, right. Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of what I was getting to, is that it's like, it almost feels like weirdly invasive, even though like everything is made up, right? Because like, phones have become like this treasure trove of like super personal information. Right.
Yeah.
And it's hard to think of like handing your phone to someone else and be like, oh yeah, just go through my text messages or whatever, you know, because like even if there's nothing in there, it still feels weird, you know, like, oh, here, log in and read my email kind of thing. So it's interesting how the game kind of unfolds and like kind of makes you come to grips with all that, because you still kind of feel bad even though it's just obviously a made up character and, you know, the game is fake and everything else. But if you are more into like, if that kind of concept sounds interesting, but you're not super into like the idea of, you know, like the kind of real life ish themes of a normal lost phone, the Mr. Robot game that came out, was that like last year, the year before? It has a funny name, like Mr. Robot, you know,
exfiltration,
you know, some numbers .ipa or whatever. After you just search the app store for Mr. Robot, it'll be the first thing that comes up. But, that's kind of a similar thing, except it's kind of like a hacker theme, which
it's a lot more intense experience.
I thought it kind of felt less dirty though, because it's like very obviously taking place in like this, you know, like TV universe and stuff like that, as opposed to this one. So
yeah, no, it's true.
Both, you know, all cool games though, and worth checking out. So Half Brick also is in the augmented reality bus with their Shadows Remain game, which looks pretty cool. I don't know. It's
the trailer's really good. It doesn't show much off of what you might do in augmented reality, and I think when you finally find out, it's probably going to be pretty similar to what's out there now. Like there's going to be some puzzle box things, you know, in AR that you need to solve or things like that. But I feel like the theme is really, really good, and the trailer is excellent, and definitely seems like a lot more interesting than just, you know, solve some puzzles that are floating in the air. So I don't know. Interested to see more about it, but I like the teaser a lot.
Yeah, it seems cool, and I don't know, from Half Brick, so it'll probably be free, which would be good. So last but least, I'm not really sure how to handle covering this stuff, and I'd actually be kind of curious of feedback for anyone that listens to the podcast or whatever that wants to email us at podcast@touchk.com. Mobile esports are in this really weird spot right now where it's like there definitely are games that have risen as being like, I don't want to say valid esports, because of course like anything you play as an esport is valid, but you know, like more produced kind of like events sort of things. Like Vainglory does like real deal tournaments, you know, that have a reasonable following on Twitch, like a few thousand people watch. You know, Hearthstone obviously is a big thing. There's I think Critical Strike is the other one that's kind of doing esportsy kind of stuff. And there's like so much money being sprayed into this industry right now. And it's like people are trying to make esports happen on mobile. And I never know if they're like actually happening or if I'm or if they're actually happening and I'm just being cynical about it, because like for so many years now, it's like anyone that's demoed a game to us has been like, oh, and here's the esports, you know? So I don't know. It's we'll kind of see how this goes. But so anyway, what I'm curious of is if people really care about this stuff or not, that real Touch Arcade. Because the problem is, and I was talking to one of the Vainglory, I don't know if he's like the community manager or like website manager, someone that does, you know, something to do with high up in Vainglory. I was kind of talking about like, you know, how we post a lot of Vainglory stuff. I mean, Eric plays Vainglory, and anytime there's a big patch or a new dude or something like that, like a post a story. But you know, they typically get very little traffic compared to anything else that we post that day. And I kind of realized the reason for that is because these games are very good at capturing their audience and keeping them inside the game. So it's like anything that you would ever really need to know about, like new Vainglory heroes or you know, Vainglory updates or anything to do with Vainglory esports, it's like right in the news feed inside of Vainglory.
Yeah.
So it's like there's never like what we see the best traction on Touch Arcade, is like, say for instance, you're playing Pocket Mine 3, which is a game that just came out. And like, you know, you play and you get to the point where it's like, oh, there's these friend codes in here. Like, let me, what do you, oh, you get stuff for entering in friend codes. Like, let me quit this game, go to Safari, type in Pocket Mine 3 friend code, and you'll find Touch Arcade. Like that kind of point is where we typically come in, and then we'll capture that audience. And like sometimes, you know, a percentage of those people stick around and become like regular Touch Arcade readers and stuff like that. But we don't really have that opportunity with a lot of these kind of mobile esports stuff. So it's kind of weird, but it's also kind of like a chicken and the egg problem, because like, I don't know if Vainglory and esports stuff doesn't do well because we don't really cover a lot of esports stuff. So people don't know to read Touch Arcade for mobile esports stuff. And that's why there's no audience for it. So
it is tricky. It'd be interesting to do something like, I don't know, a Touch Arcade tournament or something like that. Wouldn't work with the Vainglory people and see how that sort of thing does and what sort of interest it might have. But other than that, I don't know. It's a mystery to me, too, kind of because I don't really follow esports in any capacity, not even the super popular stuff. And so I feel like even though it's growing a lot, it's still a niche thing, and then you add mobile into the mix and that's a niche within a niche. So
I guess I just curious, like anyone that's listening to this podcast that's, you know, into esports or whatever, that, you know, wishes we would cover more esports, like, you know, doesn't care at all, like, you know, don't want to see on the site or whatever else, like just let us know, because like I'm really in this weird spot where it's like, dude, esports are getting so big it almost feels irresponsible to not cover it, but at the same time it's like I don't know who's that into it. And you know, maybe it might be missing an opportunity from like a Touch Arcade business perspective, because like maybe if we became like a site that was known for mobile esports stuff, like people running tournaments would buy ads, and I don't know, or want to do like sponsored tournaments or whatever else. So
worth looking at, and if it does become big, worth being on the ground floor for it. So
I don't really know, and I really have no idea how much interest it is, but the Vainglory Esports autumn season starts tomorrow. So that's Saturday, the 23rd. So I don't know, you know, they stream stuff and, you know, esports, athletes. I don't know. It's so weird to me. Like I follow Hearthstone.
I don't know what to do with it either.
I follow Hearthstone really closely, but that's because for me, it was like a natural evolution of like following Magic very closely. kind of giving up on Magic and picking up Hearthstone instead. And then like that behavior for me was a very natural kind of evolution of like, oh, well, I used to, you know, really follow Magic tournaments and who was winning in Magic and like what decks they were using and stuff like that. And it's very one-to-one transition over to Hearthstone. And that was simple. But I still have not, you know, I followed League of Legends, but not as closely, but I feel like if I'm going to watch and follow an esport, like I'm going to follow League of Legends, and you know, Vainglory is just too much for me to also follow. You know, it's like, it's like, you know, people follow football and baseball or like baseball and basketball, but you know, like very rare to find someone that's like, oh, I follow all sports.
It's hard. It's hard to keep up with.
So I think we're kind of running in the same situation. So, I don't know. And also, you know, if you're listening to this and you're like, dude, I love esports and I would love to write for Touch Arcade about esports, like, you know, reach out, like hit me up on Twitter or whatever else. Like I'm more than happy to give it a go. Cause that's kind of the other kind of tricky part of this too, is that like, because there's so few people covering like mobile esports stuff, it's like a lot of the stories are like sourced from like Twitter and stuff like that. And I just do not like, that's outside of my arena of like what, esports athletes to follow to get, you know, the hot breaking stuff that's happening across like the different esports teams. And like, I don't know, it's a thing, you know. So if you want to if you're listening to this and that sounds like something that you're interested in, like I'm more than happy to give it a try. And we pay money for people to write for us, so don't worry about the unpaid internship thing that everyone else seems to do, which we don't pay a ton, but we do pay money. So with that, that's the end of the news that I have. You want to talk about, just mention Morphite real quick?
Yeah.
I think that was like really the only big release that came out this week that we didn't hit in some kind of news story that I want to talk about. So I feel like you've played this way more than I have. Around in the
Morphite's like been in production for like maybe a year and a half, something like that. And from the first moment, everyone was like, oh, a mobile No Man's Sky. And so I feel like that's an easy shorthand for the game, and it's not totally inaccurate, but it's also not a No Man's Sky game at all. Or, you know, I mean, they're very different things. But for what Morphite is, it's really, really fun. It's actually, you know, you have all of these different planets. I think there's something like hundreds of thousands of different planet possibilities, and you kind of travel across the solar system in a pretty similar manner to the game Out There. So meaning that, you know, you might get a mission that's like, you know, several planets away, but you won't have enough fuel to make it that far on your own. So you'll have to go to a closer planet, land, gather up some resources, and then kind of refill your fuel, and then travel to the next planet you can make it to until you can get to the one where you do the mission or whatever. And I thought that added kind of like a neat sort of exploratory strategic factor to just kind of planet hopping anywhere willy-nilly. And then there's actually a pretty interesting storyline to follow along with too. It's not super long, and it's not like, you know, like mind-blowing story or anything like that, but it's interesting enough. There's a really cool kind of world and lore that they've created behind Morphite. And you definitely find yourself like, you know, wanting to advance to find out what happens next, as opposed to feeling like, you know, you need to or anything like that. And then all that stuff aside, you know, storyline and stuff aside, you can just kind of jump to different randomly generated planets and explore just for fun. And it's not, you know, the planets are decently large. Some are larger than others, but they're not like each one big open planet world like No Man's Sky. Like, I guess every planet you go to, you could walk a circle around or whatever. This is more like just larger open areas, but they're all really interesting. All use a really neat kind of like color palette. Really neat, interesting creatures get generated, and there's lots of variations of each too. And one of the cool things is this is Metroid Prime inspired, and so you actually have this scanner gun, and you can actually scan the plants and animals of every planet. And there's like a pretty decent selection of them too. And what you end up doing is selling those scans for money that you can use to like upgrade your suits and your ship and things like that. But me is one of those people that just likes exploring in games just for the sake of exploring. It's the kind of game where not always, but there's many times where your exploration will pay off and you'll find some cool hidden thing. So it kind of makes it worthwhile to check every nook and cranny. And then scanning all the stuff is super fun too, when you find like a new species or whatever. And the way it works is sort of like a loot system. Like there will be common species and then rare species, and you know, the rare ones are worth more. So I thought that was really interesting too. You can get kind of excited just by scanning stuff, and yeah, I don't know. There's a lot to do. It's hard because I feel like when it instantly got labeled as like mobile No Man's Sky, it's got a lot to live up to. But I think it's a very different beast, and I also think that while it has a lot of I don't know, rough edges and stuff, I think they really just nailed making like a fun game that's just enjoyable to play in and of itself. Whether you're following a story or just kind of bouncing around exploring planets and things. And it's, you know, $8. So it's, I think you get a good value for your money here. And yeah, it's just one of those kind of quirky games. It's definitely not perfect. You can point out a lot of things that are wrong with it, but for whatever reason, it's still fun to go back to. And so I think it's surprising that they actually kind of delivered, you know, the kind of game. It didn't, you know, its scope didn't get away from them, and then it comes out and it's this like, you know, thing that everyone hates or whatever. So yeah, Morphite's really, really good. I would definitely suggest checking it out if you like the look of it or you like the sound of exploring different planets and things like that.
What I think is going to be interesting about this is that I've seen a lot of people comparing it to No Man's Sky, and like that is kind of like the angle that a lot of people that have written about it have kind of taken, is like, oh, you know, No Man's Sky kind of sucked, but like, check out Morphite, it's pretty cool, and I like No Man's Sky. Yeah. And it's gonna just be wild to me if like, yeah, I feel like Crescent Moon Games has definitely made a name for themselves on mobile, right? Like most people that are serious mobile games, you know, knows who they are and stuff like that. But like, it's just going to be wild to me if this is what really takes Crescent Moon to like the next level, is like they make a better version of No Man's Sky, which like, it was just going to be funny because No Man's Sky was just like one of those games that just had like so many people working on it and so much money poured into it. And like Crescent Moon Games, like kind of shtick is, I guess I should have been playing this whole time instead of listening to you and reading about the game on my phone.
I didn't even realize you weren't going.
Their kind of shtick is like, you know, dude, we are super lean. Like we, you know, have a couple dudes that work on stuff, and that's kind of what we do.
This is definitely a tiny team for how big the game ended up coming out. Even though it's not No Man's Sky big, it's still a pretty big game.
Yeah. So if they manage to like out No Man's Sky with like a, I don't know how many people were working on this, but I would be surprised if it was like any more than a few.
Well, I think, already I've heard some people, I don't play No Man's Sky, don't really know, but already I've heard a lot of people that are like, it's a more focused experience, which already kind of puts it out ahead. I think No Man's Sky, the problem with that was that, you know, it got this big update last month or two or whatever it was, that, and everyone's finally like, oh, it's good now. But I think it was always good for a long time. It just kind of depended on what you wanted from it. And like our former coworker Blake is like a No Man's Sky nut. And he loved the game just for the fact of exploring and finding crazy, weird new planets and species and stuff like that. And so there's a lot of that going on in Morphite too, on a much smaller scale. But I mean, if you get that same sort of satisfaction of like, oh, here's a planet I haven't been to, I can't wait to get down there and see what's on it, then you get that satisfaction in like a handheld form.
Yeah, I think the problem with No Man's Sky was it was vastly overpromised and unbelievably underdelivered. Like, I think if you just were browsing Steam today and we're like, oh, No Man's Sky, I never heard of that, that looks cool, and downloaded it, you'd probably have a great time with it. But like, if you were following all like the drip feed of information about how like, oh my god, the entire universe is gonna be you know, procedurally generated, and you're gonna come across a planet and you'll be able to, you know, just land on it and see like amazingly new procedurally generated creatures that are going to be incredible and everything else. Like,
they were sort of a victim of their own scope. I think if No Man's Sky, even in its original launch state, had just launched, people would be like, what is this crazy thing? This is so cool. You can explore a million planets and whatever, as opposed to being like, well, they said this would be in it and it's not. And this sucks now.
So I don't know. Morphite's really cool. All the, you know, so the big games that came out this week, again, just to recap, I think like The Witness, Morphite, Phoenix Wright Games, another Lost Phone, Minecraft update. What other big stuff? This week was
NBA 2K18 is pretty
NBA
big.
NBA 18. Thimbleweed Park launched last week. That's another amazing game. Yeah. These last 2 weeks have been like, if you are the kind of person that like is always like, ah, oh, mobile sucks or whatever, it's like, I don't know what mobile games you're looking at, but
there was someone in our forums that was like going off about that. And somebody said something along those same lines. It's like, how can you say mobile? He said something along the lines of like, mobile has sucked since 2009 or something. And I'm like, what was so great about in 2009? I feel like that was like the infancy of the App Store, and things have gotten amazing, much more amazing since then. And somebody said something along the lines of like, how can somebody even say that with these last 2 weeks of new releases that are just so blockbuster? So,
yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I guess our podcast is a little long this week, so really appreciate you guys making it through the whole show. If you like this episode or previous episodes or whatever, please leave us an iTunes review. Presumably that does something. If nothing else, it makes us smile and we get the email and say, hey, you got a positive iTunes review. Again, you mentioned the start of the show, but this podcast as well as the website itself is sponsored almost entirely by Patreon, which you can visit by going to patreon.com/touch arcade. You can check out older versions or older episodes of the video podcast there as well. If you do a lot of shopping on Amazon, we'd love it if you would do it through toucharcade.com/Amazon so we can get a cut of anything you buy there. Also, if you want to subscribe to us on Twitch or just watch us on Twitch, we're at twitch.tv/toucharcade. We've got a really cool Discord at discord.gg/toucharcade. And again, you know, as we mentioned, our podcast email is podcast@toucharcade.com. Really would like to hear opinions on esports stuff in mobile and other things that pertain to anything that you'd want to talk about. So with that, if you got a new iPhone 8, hope you enjoy it. If you're like us and waiting for the iPhone X, hope you don't get too jealous of people that have brand new phones this week while you're rocking your old and busted, you know, potentially iPhone 7 because whatever you have, you know.